Coach Bill Curry, welcome back to Tuscaloosa. I hope all is well, sir.
Thanks. Glad to be back on the phone with you.
Absolutely, and we're delighted to have you back in Tuscaloosa. But Coach, let me get an update. What are you up to these days?
Well, I'm becoming a vastly improved grandfather.
Okay.
I'm excellent at little girls swim meets with our granddaughters and football games with our grandsons and all kinds of things that that you don't get to do as often when you're working full-time. And full-time for a coach is not 40 hours a week. Everybody understands that. So I'm enjoying that. I'm really enjoying spending time and traveling with my wife, Carolyn. We've been privileged to take some nice trips. And so these are things we've planned for and thought about our whole lives. And now we're getting a chance to do them, and it's wonderful.
But, Coach, you know in 59 days you're going to get that itch again, right?
Let's see. What is it that happens in 59 days? I just can't imagine. Well, you know, I'm anxious to see, because this is the part that I don't know whether to be embarrassed or proud of this, but this will be the first time since 1954 that I didn't report for full-time football duty. 58 years in a row, I've been full-time at the sport of football doing something, either playing or coaching or broadcasting. So I think it's going to feel weird. And I look forward to seeing. I just want to see what the emotional response is. But I'm sure I'll get some itch.
You know, I was looking back, and Coach, I'll be honest with you. I did not realize that you played in the very first Super Bowl. Do I have that correct?
Yep. I was I've been the luckiest guy in the world to be in the best football places during my era, the very best places to be in many cases, not all cases, but in many. I had the privilege of playing for the Green Bay Packers, and we won the world championship the year before the first Super Bowl. That was my rookie year, 1965. And then after the 66 season, we played in what came to be called Super Bowl I. It was not called that at the time. It was called the World Championship Game. And then as time went along, Pete Rozelle and the NFL PR machine came up with this name that my wife and I, Carol and I, thought it was ridiculous. We thought this Super Bowl, that's a silly name. It sounded like Super Ball, those bouncy balls. And it'll never work. Obviously, we were wrong.
You had a chance to play the center position, and a guy that we're a big fan of was the quarterback there. What's your relationship like with legendary Bart Starr?
Bart Starr is not only one of the finest human beings I've ever known, but he's the big brother I never had. I was blessed with two little sisters, but didn't have a brother in my family, and the day I reported to the Green Bay Packers, Bart and Sherry Starr adopted us, and they have stayed by our side and vice versa every day since then. So my relationship with Bart Starr is that I love him and respect him, not only as one of the great football players of all time, but one of the great people.
Coach, did he influence or help you sort of behind the scenes land in Tuscaloosa coaching for the University of Alabama?
Did you say Bart?
Yeah, did he influence you? Maybe be behind the scenes, sort of talk you into it, maybe persuade you a little bit?
Well, no, he really didn't. I worked for him as his offensive line coach with the Packers prior to getting my first head coaching job, which was at my alma mater, Georgia Tech. And he was a great encouragement when I moved into that first head coaching job, because he had just been through learning how it felt to be a head coach for the first time. And so he was a big help. We talked a lot then. When the Alabama thing came up, he was positive about Alabama. He wanted me to do it, but he didn't push, and he was not involved in the selection process, to my knowledge. Now, he may have talked to somebody without my knowing it. He would never brag about anything if he participated that way. That's a possibility. But just the very fact that he went to Alabama would have been a big influence on me.
We're talking with Coach Bill Curry. He's in the game on 99.1 and 99.1 WDGM at Tuscaloosa as he recently retired at Georgia State University. That's on Alabama's schedule for the upcoming 2013. Coach, I want to go back and ask you about your coaching days here in Tuscaloosa, because we've been advocating that Derek Thomas belongs in the College Football Hall of Fame. He's been snubbed a couple times, and we believe that he deserves a spot in the College Football Hall of Fame. As someone that understands that better than we do, what do you think about Derek Thomas not being a member of the College Football Hall of Fame?
Well, it's just a matter of time. Derek's the best football player I ever coached. He is one of the top four or five college football players I've ever seen. And all you got to do is get out the video. If you want to get Derek is being snubbed by the committee, I used to be on the committee to select the National Football Foundation Hall of Fame. Get the video out and show him Derek Thomas. Show him about, three series he'll be in. He's an unbelievable football player.
No doubt. Folks in Tuscaloosa love him. Hopefully we can continue to push and advocate for that name out there. Some former players like Cornelius Bennett deciding that they're going to sort of boycott the College Football Hall of Fame until he gets in, because they passed him up several different times. Sometimes with age, you know, we forget about those legends. And obviously Derek Thomas is not around to sort of be out there in that media spotlight, but hopefully guys like yourself that coached him can help us remember that Derek Thomas needs to be there. Coach, as I walk back to your University of Alabama days, you had some great success. You left and went to Kentucky, but as I look back at your coaching days, that was when I was growing as an Alabama fan. I was about 7, 8, 9 when I developed that love. And I was looking through some of my mementos today, and the same photo that I put up on Facebook was the same photo that you autographed for me back in the 80s. But talk about what that job really entails, because I really don't know if we truly understand what it really means to be head coach at the University of Alabama.
It's not something you can describe. It's such a privilege to walk on that sideline and to coach the kind of young men that come to play in that program. A majority of them have made up their minds that they want to play for Alabama long before any recruiting goes on. Well, while we were there, the player of the year in the state of New York called us. Derek Lastic. He called us. I'd like to be recruited by Alabama. We didn't even have his name on our list. And he ended up being the most valuable player in the national championship game at the Sugar Bowl a few years later. And so it was just mind-boggling from the standpoint of recruiting when we signed Philip Doyle, who became an All-American kicker for us out of Birmingham when I first got to Alabama. And I thought, well, I really did a good job on Phillip. So once we got him there, I said, Phillip, what was it that made you decide, and when did you know you wanted to go to Alabama, thinking that he was going to talk about what a great job we did recruiting him? I said, well, when did you know for sure you wanted to go to Alabama? He said, oh, when I was about 10 years old. And walked that sideline with men that, ever since they were little boys, have been dying to play in a crimson jersey. You don't ever have to motivate them. You just get them lined up, and they play their guts out every single Saturday. It is great fun to coach them. Some of the greatest young men I've ever known, Derek Thomas was one of them, David Smith, Willie Wyatt, Marco Battle, I could just go on, Lamon Russell, just phenomenal human beings and players. So it was a privilege to be there.
Coach, when you look at the pressure of that job, why has Nick Saban been so successful in Tuscaloosa? Coach Curry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, why has Nick Saban been so successful in Tuscaloosa?
Oh, I thought you had more to the question.
Oh, no.
I missed the first part.
I'm sorry. I was just saying Nick Saban's had a lot of success here. I just sort of, from someone that's been in that position, why has he been so successful, in your opinion?
Well, if I had not seen him at every stop, I would say I'm not sure why he's done so much better than most coaches there. But I have watched him for a long, long time. When I was starting at ESPN, he was the head coach at Michigan State, and I had the privilege of having a couple of private conversations with him, which is not the norm when you're an analyst. And I'm not saying that we're buddy-buddy, but we became friends. We talked about some mutual concerns having to do with our families. And so maybe I watched him a little more closely on the sideline because I was a brand-new analyst and because we had talked about families and such. And I said on the air, one of the few smart things I said, but this was just the truth, I watched him when his team was playing poorly and they were down, and he went up and down the sideline and he willed his guys to win the game. And they did, in a game that they probably shouldn't have won and wouldn't have won if he hadn't been the coach. And I was able to say, as a rookie analyst, this guy can will his team to win. There are not many guys that can do that. And I mentioned Coach Bryant, I think. Coach Bryant, Coach Lombardi, just a few others, Eddie Robinson, that could make their teams do what they needed to do to win. And he continues to do that. He's done it everywhere he's coached. So I think that the capacity to get inside people's heads, and when you see him get in somebody's face, whether he's saying something charming or not so charming, he knows how to push the right button. And most of us really don't have that yet.
Coach, do you think the passion of Alabama fans have also been an asset to him building this program? And do you think without them, it's a perfect fit? I mean, his passion, Alabama's fans, the fans' passion. I mean, just in Tuscaloosa, as we count down college football's start, it's amazing the passion and the drive to talk about college football, even here in Tuscaloosa, every single day of the year.
If you're a football player in the state of Alabama, or even in some neighboring state where football is highly revered, there is not a day that somebody doesn't say something to you about Crimson Tide football. Nick obviously is has that preoccupation that all great coaches have. To be surrounded by the same kind of preoccupation, if a guy goes to get a tank of gas, the filling station attendant is probably going to say, y'all better win this year. It's important around here. That's going to happen 365 days a year. And I don't know of any other place where that happens. Maybe Green Bay, maybe, but the guys aren't there all year. These guys are.
Coach, as someone that represents the game the way that you do, and you've served on different committees, as we look at college football playoffs starting in 2 years, this will be the final year for the BCS, 2014, we will introduce a selection committee that will select four teams to compete for the pinnacle of college football. Coach, do you believe that we will get it right, that we will take a selection committee and actually select the best four teams in college football to play for this honor?
I've been asked over and over and over the last decade, what about the BCS? What about the BCS? And my answer was always the same. It's not perfect, and it's sometimes unfair, but it's the best we got, and it does two wonderful things for the sport of football. Number one, it gives us something to talk about year-round. So people that hated it could talk about it. People that defended it could talk about it. But more importantly, it gave us the best regular season of any of the big-time sports. You think about, what about basketball? Well, the whole discussion is you got to get in the tournament. And, 65 teams are going to get in the tournament. Well, in this deal, you better win every week. You better not lose more than one, or you're not going to be in it. And so the regular season takes on brand-new meaning, and who you play is important. I mean, so the BCS wasn't all bad. The new system's not all good, but it's going to do those two same things. Folks are going to have something to talk about and argue about, and that's what Americans love to do, especially football fans. And it's going to end up causing the regular season to mean something. Every game's going to mean something.
Coach, I hope you'll do it again sometime soon. We really have enjoyed our conversations. We reflect on your playing days, your coaching days. Somewhere, find a TV set, because we're going to be missed in the game. Whether you're coaching, whether you're trying to find a way to put it on ESPN and analyze the game, find a way to get back involved in the game. We hope that we'll see you somewhere down the road in a college football stadium telling us about the game that you're watching. Coach Bill Curry helping us out. We appreciate it, Coach.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate being on.